Congregation, the text for this morning is from Hebrews 4, the 12th verse. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So far. The theme for this morning, the importance of the word, with the help of the Lord, four thoughts. The sharp word. Secondly, resisting the word. In the third place, a precious word. And fourthly, an urgent word. So the importance of the word. First, the sharp word. Secondly, resisting the word. Three, precious word. And fourth, an urgent word. Congregation, of course, you have to study this chapter and this verse. Read over a couple times, and a few words jumped out. Four key words you need to know. In the first place, the rest. Rest. There's a rest for God's people. The new Canaan, heaven, the future, a rest for God's people, promised the Lord that they would enter. Keep it in mind. The rest, the future, the doors of heaven open to God's people, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Many times in this chapter. Second word, of course, to enter. To enter into that rest. Who will enter? Not everyone goes there. Some will be stopped and say, there's no room here, I don't know you. The door will be closed. Others come in to enter into the rest, into the new Canaan. Third word, who are going there? They that believe, truly, savingly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believers. Others have heard the word. It was not mixed with the faith, and they did not enter. You need, in order to enter, you need a true saving faith in the word of God. So the rest, entering into the rest, believing is necessary. Believing what? The word. So forwards, they will enter to the rest that truly believe in the word of God. That's the chapter. Now the text about the word. Second thing I discovered is there's a Bible story behind this. Didn't see it at first. A Bible story. I'm going to tell you a Bible story. And you will connect the dots and the lines. Children, remember, those 12 spies, the people of Israel traveled through the wilderness for 40 years and came to the border of Canaan. And Moses said, send 4 spies. But actually, the Lord did. You can find it in Numbers 13 and 14. So clear written. And the Lord spake unto Moses, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Moses and spies. For every tribe one person, a leader, like Caleb and Joshua and others. Set them forth and that they may see what is this land. Do the people live in tents or in strongholds? What type of fruits do they grow? What is the land about? Are there also strong armies? You need to know all the details. Go and search the land. The Lord will give us this land. You have to search it. And they left. When Kadesh Barnea and the 12 spies left, you didn't see them anymore. They were waiting. They came back after 40 days. And the people of Israel gathered together close to the tabernacle. And Moses, he's standing in there, and Aaron, and the 12 spies, and the people around them. And they see something. They see a huge cluster of grapes they brought forth, and figs, and pomegranates. And they say, that looks good. Must be a good land to live in. And then they tell the report, indeed, a land flowing with milk and honey, so precious. But, nevertheless, they're concerned. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong. They're so strong to dwell in the land. And the cities are walled. Huge stone walls around the cities. And very great. Moreover, we have seen people of Anak there. Giants, so strong. And you see those eyes of the people, and they become loud and murmuring and upset and crying. And then Caleb comes forward. All important, the standout chapter, Hebrews 4. And Caleb still the people before God and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go now. Let's go now at once. We can do it. The help of the Lord. Caleb had faith, right? Like Joshua. And those 10, they saw so many obstacles, so many mountains, so many impossibilities. They said, impossible. So Caleb still the people. Quiet. Listen. Let's go at once. Possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But those 10 are the spies. Said, no. They're stronger than we are. Impossible, absolutely impossible. We can't make it. And they brought up an evil report of the land which had searched. Now you should see the people, how upset they are. Angry. Why are we here? We should never have left. Let us choose us another king, another leader. Let us kill Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron fall on their faces and call upon the Lord. The Lord appears in the cloud and defends his people. And the Lord says, none of this people may enter into the rest. Because of their unbelief. And the people hear that and say, oh, that's not good. We'll go. Next morning, we will go ourselves. Moses, no, don't go anymore. It's too late. Yesterday, Caleb said, let's go at once. And now it's a day later. You don't do this. We are going. You have courage. You have faith. And they try to conquer the land. They're defeated. One day too late. They could not enter. And 40 years more to stay in the wilderness. See? Now back to Amos 4. Do you understand now? The first verse. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, but being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See? So, for we which have believed enter to the rest, as he said, I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, well, the words are finished from the foundation of the world. I see the people of Israel traveling from Egypt to Canaan. And every Sunday, rather Sabbath day, the rest. So I said, now enjoy your rest. I'm going to bring you to the land of the rest, to the Sabbath, the eternal Sabbath. Look forward, be happy, be encouraged. You'll get there. And they came to the border, and all that unbelief that kept them out of the new promised land. That's the background. Now back to our text. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any that sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So why does the apostle speak on this word? Well, the verse is spoken to the people of Israel as well. The gospel is preached, let's go up at once. We possess it. We can do it. You're able to overcome them. They heard the word of Caleb's mouth and did not hear it. What a responsibility to disobey the word. Faith in the word is needed in order to enter the rest. Now look at the word. The word of God is quick. You know the word quick? Means fast? No. Quick means alive. To quicken someone from the dead. And so the word of God is alive. It's quick. It's not dead at all. Spoken so long ago, still alive. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharp. You know, the word of God is sharp. So sharp it pierces. It cuts. It divides. A two-edged sword, sharp on both sides. So it pierces easily. Some see an allegory in there. It is the law and the gospel. One side the law, one side the gospel. I'm not so sure about that. It is sharper than any dead sword, when the Lord covered the word, it so sharp it goes deep in the heart, in the spirit, in the soul. It wounds, it does something. Piercing into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So the spirit is cut, the soul is cut. Some make a distinction between spirit and soul and the joints in the marrow. I don't see it that way. I see it in general as very deep. It goes deep into your existence, deep into your thoughts, into your soul, into your spirit. It cuts to the bone. It gets into your marrow. It's in your joints. It does profound work in the heart. That's the word of God. So the word of God is still alive. It has to become alive, I agree, but also it is. It always is. It's never dead. It's always alive. It's always actual. It's always powerful. For the word of God is quick and is powerful. And then to disagree with that and to disobey your own way, how difficult, how dangerous to resist the word of the living God. It is powerful. When the Lord comes with his Spirit, it is doing something. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'll give you an example of that. Children, an example for you. Those for older ones. I see a mother with such a device to dust in the living room. And she's dusting the table and dusting the shades and dusting the walls and dusting everywhere. She sees dust everywhere. And I'm looking at that. And I just don't understand it. Why not? Looking at the carpet. The dog needs also something there. And there too. And she tiptoes around it. She's dusting everywhere. It stinks in the room. She leaves the dung untouched. She walks around it. And says, Mom, see it on the carpet? Oh, yeah, later. Do that later. First, I have to dust. Get it? Some people are dusting. Here and there and such and so. This is dirty. That's not good. I have to deal with that. And some major sins on the carpet in their souls, let them go. I will deal with them later, those bosom sins, whatever it is. And the word of God comes powerful and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts and reveals it to the heart. Reveals to the people, you're a sinner. Lord is arresting people and points to that. You're that man, David. And then people feel the power of it. It cuts to the bone. It arrests sinners. And then people feel the pinch. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What is it? What is your sin that you leave untouched? Is it wasting time? Spending time on nothing, entertaining yourself in this life, not seeking the Lord, and being critical of other people's dust, and saying, see dust there and dust there. You see dust in your own life a little bit here as well. And you leave it untouched, a waste of time? Or do you see there your lack of prayer, your selfishness, your pride, your addiction, your affair, your addiction of substances, whatever it is, or I see there in that corner quite something. It really stinks. Unbelief. Being unconverted. Defending yourself. Feeling smug about your doctrine. Being at ease with your lifestyle. Pride. Unbelief. And the Lord comes. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you become a sinner before the Lord. And the Lord opens the hearts and cuts to the bone and shows you who you are. You cry, oh Lord, this hurts. Pricked in the heart, Lord. Listen to Isaiah 49. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. A sharp sword Have you discovered how sharp the sword of the Lord is? Well, look at verse 13, after our verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We have to do with an almighty God. And chill, young people, adults, he sees everything. He knows what you're doing, the intents of your heart, your thoughts, your dreams, your intentions, everything. He knows about that. Do you know who you have to do with? There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's frightening. He knows. So, this is the second thought. Resisting the word. Before the sermon, he always asked, Lord, come with thy Holy Spirit, right? Accompany the word, because only the word won't do it, right? Only the word would not do it. It's so hard, the external call bounces off. So he asked, Lord, come with that irresistible power of the Spirit, make thy word powerful and quick. I see that. I agree with that. You need more than an external call, more than the word outwardly. And yet, we have to be careful. We're saying, oh Lord, this is only the Bible, this is only paper, only ink, only thoughts. Lord, may now the word become the word. You have to be careful. Because the word is powerful. It's always accompanied with the Holy Spirit anyway. The Holy Spirit is always connected to the word. He is already, always. Whenever you read the Bible and hear the sermon, it's always the Holy Spirit. Really? I thought when the Holy Spirit comes, then something changes. No, not per se. It is possible that the Holy Spirit is in the word and that yet people resist it. Like Caleb's word, they're powerful. Let's go at once. Let's go now. We can do it. The bread in our hands. Powerful word. And the people resisted the word of the Lord. Resisted the Holy Spirit, right? In its common work. I know God's word does not automatically save people from their sins, but on the other hand, it's doing always something. Think of Stephen, who spoke to the people of the Jews in Acts 7, verse 58. Ye stiff-necked, is that you? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers also ye. So, when you hear a sermon, there is the Holy Spirit in it, always. And you resist the Holy Spirit. We not only can, we do. We resist the Holy Spirit. We keep the door closed. We say, no, not yet. We deal with the dust here and there and leave things untouched. So that means when you hear the word, you read a page, It's always doing something. It softens you up, or it hardens your heart, like the sun. The same sun, right, can scorch the ground and make clay like stone, so hard as a stone that the sun is doing, but put some butter outside, it will melt. The same sun, so the word of God is always doing something. It softens, it melts your heart, or it hardens your heart. Because the word of God is powerful and quick and discerns and is always alive. It's always the word of God. It does not have to become God's word. It is God's word. It is quick. It is powerful. So God's word was spoken in the past. The Lord still speaks loudly and clearly in his word today. So God's word was inspired by the Holy Spirit in the past, but it's still there. It's still spoken. It still comes out of the mouth of the Lord. And that's why unbelief is so awful. Because the word of God is so powerful. Look at the previous verse. Verse 10 and 11. For he that is entered into the rest, so has ceased from his own work, as God did from his, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. So think of the word for that connects with the previous verses. Oh, that unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Now to resist that, that makes unbelief so serious. Sometimes people sit back in the pew and say, well, I'm waiting until the Lord makes his word powerful and quick and discerning and doing something in my heart. I wait for that. I wait for the Lord to begin. The congregation of the word of God is powerful and resist it. And yet, I come back to the first thought on this. Of course, we need that irresistible work of the Spirit to bring us down on our knees, to become a sinner before the Lord. Otherwise, we will never give up and keep resisting. As long as you don't forget. The word of God, the law, and the gospel are always quick, always well meant, always God's word. So not listening to a sermon, disregarding it, forgetting about it, not taking it seriously, is resisting the Spirit, not listening to the word of God. Take it seriously, congregation. A sermon is not just a sermon. It's the word of the living God. And we need to take heed. What a comfort. What a comfort for them that find the world in their own heart. What a comfort for them that say, oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word of God is always well meant. You don't have to say, Lord, make it true. It is true when the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will help thee. That is true. It doesn't have to become true. It is. When the Lord says, I stretch my arms out to rebellious people, that is true. That is true regardless if you feel it or not, apply it or not, it is true. You don't have to qualify. So the Lord is at the door and he knocks also this morning hour. Today, you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I read in Isaiah 63, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be an enemy, and he fought against them. See that? They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So you're grieving the Spirit, vexing the Spirit, not obeying the word of the Lord, and we resist the word of the living God. It is powerful. It is alive. And yet, also precious. Our third thought, precious. Congregation, I like studying the Bible, the books on the table, the dictionaries, the commentaries, the grammars, and to go deep and detailed, I like that. But what's the purpose? Just being curious? Just to get to know more about the facts? More about God? To increase your knowledge? What is the purpose of studying the Bible? Sitting in church? To satisfy your curiosity? Say, I heard something new this morning. Hopefully more. The Lord wants to meet with people. Wants to speak unto people, wants you to hear his voice, and wants people to remember him in his mercy, to remember him because he's merciful. The Lord wants to come close. So that's what we read in the Bible in 1 John 1 verse 1, that our hands have handled the word of God. It becomes so personal, so precious, so suitable to the heart, not only discerning, but also in his gospel preaching, so sweet to handle it. God sort of speaks of tasting it. It becomes sweet to your palate. And the Lord shows you something of his patience. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the Lord makes it clear that he is not done with you yet. There's still grace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes precious to the heart. Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like a fire, say the Lord, like a hammer, break the rock in pieces? A hammer. Sometimes little boys take the hammer and look at it and feel it and say, this is a hammer. Boy, this is a hammer. And they have a hammer in their hands and they look at it and they see what that is doing with it. And so people study the word. See, oh, that's the hammer. But the thing is, we need to experience the hammer in our chest, in our hearts. Break the hearts in pieces like a fire. Or think of the day of Pentecost, how precious. Now when they heard this, they pricked in the heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Or think of 2 Corinthians 2:16. You know that text. To the one, we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other, the savior of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. The Lord God, in his power, he makes the word precious and personal. He is hiding it for the wise and the prudent, reveals it to the babes. The word of God becomes personal. That's how it becomes a delight to the soul. Think of those two men of Emmaus, right? They had no idea who was talking with them on the road. He opened the scriptures, and they later said, our hearts are burning in us. And he revealed himself, and so the Lord gives that burning desire and the burning experience and the sweetness and the suitability of the gospel also. In that sense, is the word of God quick, precious, quick, suitable to the heart, and rain upon a thirsty land. We have no holy places. Right? Some people go to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and that's fine with me. Maybe someday I go there too. But deep down I feel that there is no, God is not there more than any other place. Right? There are not holy shrines. God is here as well as there. But the Lord is in the book. You have a holy book though. In the scriptures, the word of the Lord is powerful and sharp and dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. So Bethel, right? Bethel means house of the Lord. And so the Lord has given us a Bethel, a house of God in the scriptures. May I ask a question? Do you open that Bible? You open the Bible, or be careful. It is quick and powerful. It discerns, it knows your intents and the thoughts of your heart. Read it honestly and seriously. It's the word of God after all. It's not just a book. And ask the Lord to apply it. But do not only ask to apply it, also know it is God's word already. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Take heed, it's well meant. And the letter sent to you. The import of the word. Sharp word, resisting the word, precious word, last thought, urgent word. Congregation reading the Bible, listening to the sermon, can be quite relaxed. You can sit back, enjoy it, read a commentary on a Sunday afternoon, study the word of God, relaxing. Beautiful work to do, but it's urgent. It's not something casual. It's listening to the voice of God. It's urgent. And listen again to the word of Caleb, who said, let's go up at once. We will overcome them and possess the land. He had that courage, that hope, that faith. And the Lord punished the people not obeying the voice of Caleb and of the gospel. They heard the voice, they heard the gospel preached, and it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the next day, they did not have another chance. David, King David, he knew this chapter from Numbers. He thought about that. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And he wrote Psalm 95. He sang about that. And he said, that same voice comes as today. Although the Lord could have said, nobody can enter into the rest. I have to wait until the new generation is coming. Yet the Lord says, another day. In spite of all that, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's all in this chapter. Right? Look at verse 7. It's quite something. Also for us this morning. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, Psalm 95, today, after so long a time. It's such a long time ago, 1,000 years ago, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Quite something. So the Lord puts pressure on us this morning and says, now don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, well, think about that. Today, harden not your heart. Seek the Lord and live. Repent, you have what you die. And don't continue your unbelief. There's still people among us this morning and they say, well, I don't know. I have gone to church my whole life. Does the Lord really want me? Is he willing to save me? I don't experience anything in my heart. Congregation, the secret will of the Lord is hidden. The revealed will is clear. Repent ye, why would you die? Count on that. Think of that. Also think of the first verse, again, of this chapter. Talking about urgency. Let us therefore fear, lest any promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it, miss it, be too late, like those 5 foolish virgins. They came too late to the door and knocked and knocked, and the Lord said, I don't know you. Who are you? So be careful that you don't come too late. It's a warning. It's an urgent call that comes to us this morning hour. For the word of God is quick and powerful. It is. It always is. Today, hear his voice. Also think of verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden it. So he's doing something, but don't harden it. And keep in mind that the Lord has said, they that seek me early will find me. Sometimes older elderly people say, it's too late for me, I am not so young anymore. I can't seek the Lord early anymore. But you know, seek early in the day then. Seek him earnestly. Seek him fervently. Seek him with your intent, your thoughts, and say, Lord, convert me before it is too late. Let us labor therefore. Verse 11. See that? Let us labor therefore. Not just casually sitting back and listening, no laboring. Labor therefore to enter the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Labor. Are you laboring? Sitting back. Saying, well, I pray and read the Bible and I wait. Labor to enter in. For the word of God is quick. He's always doing something. And then the last piece of this chapter. Precious peace. Some say this morning, I see what you mean. You're right. I'm a hypocrite. I'm dusting everywhere, but at least citizens untouched. I'm such a double life. All that unbelief, all that pride, all those bosom sins. If you feel it this morning, and you say, oh Lord, what now? Thou hast cut to the bone, to the marrow and the joint, so that you're hoping for the people are arrested this morning hour. What now? Verse 14 through 16. Let me read it again. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, this passed to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So laboring is also coming. Not resisting in unbelief, but finally coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that great high priest who knows all those temptations, knows all those sins, not from his own experience, but has seen it. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He's the great high priest. And he knows people. He can not be touched with the feelings or infirmities, but he is in all points tempted like we are, without sin. Let us therefore come. Is that a word to all of us? Well, David applied Numbers 13 and 14 to the whole congregation in Psalm 95. And that's picked up by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 4. I have the freedom, based on the Bible, to lay this text, verse 16, in front of you this morning. Let us, therefore, this is for unconverted people that see they are sinners, the sinner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let us therefore come, not bashfully and shyfully, not hesitantly, but boldly. Let's come boldly unto the throne of God's justice, not of God's grace. It's the throne of grace that he said there. And I show you the throne of grace, and you may come boldly with all this sin in your whole life. Be honest to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been ignoring those sins. I've been tiptoeing around them. Now I'm honest about it. Boldly, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Now that you may be, that you will obtain mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. This is the time of need, right? It's not about outward things. It's about spiritual things. Labor, therefore. Fear, therefore. You know, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the congregations. Some older people had met the Lord Jesus themselves. There's a whole new generation coming. And he saw people being casual about those things. And was concerned about the attitude of some people. And he wanted to wake them up. He wanted to shake them up. As you're God's people in the congregation, be careful. I want you to fear. Don't forget, keep in mind, so many people left Egypt. And so many died in the wilderness and never entered the rest. Like 1 Corinthians 10, shall you might want to read today. 1 Corinthians 10, same thing. Went through the Red Sea, through the desert, experienced God's help, never entered. Oh, let us fear, therefore, also you who profess something. Something happened, let fear that you don't stay behind in that unbelief, in turning back to your sins and the world. Keep it up. Hold on that profession. Verse 14. Let's hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. He can be touched with the infirmities of our lives. He knows those people that are fighting against sin and fall back into sin. He knows those people and he warns them and he says, hold fast, labor to enter in, Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Is God working you? So what you learned so far, you're going home with. The word of God is quick. And if you don't take heed, it's your fault. You cannot blame the word. It is quick. It is powerful. It is dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing is hid for his eyes. He knows you. Can you live that way? Can you live holding on to sins, not being enemies of some of them? Can you live like that? How do we dare? The people of Israel repented and said, the next day you'll go. You see your point? Moses said, no, not anymore. It's too late now. The Lord could say that this morning too. It's too late now. There's so much unbelief in your life. All those years, 40 years, less years, more years, so much grieving. Lord could say this morning, I don't want you to cry at me anymore. The Lord says, today, yet another day, so many years after, today, hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. O Lord, we could all bring it to the heart, to the ear. May it please thee, Lord, bring it to the heart. You're so hardened, Lord, so resisting the word of God. There's so much unbelief, so much hiding and secret sins of the eyes that come with thy spirit and show our sins, show our unbelief. May we repent. Come, Lord, with the irresistible power of thy spirit and convert people before it is too late. Help us also the rest of this day. Bring us safe back home and back to church again to hear thy word. We come prayerfully and realizing it is the word of God. O Lord, that sinners may cry today and say, Lord, I've heard the word so many years. So it's such a powerful word, and it's my fault that nothing has changed. Oh, that sins may turn unto the Lord and repent, but also take refuge to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that great high priest, who was willing to pay the price to save sinners from the wrath of God. Lord, graciously forgive the shortcomings. In Jesus' name alone, amen.